Hi, I'm Gordon Reese, and I'm talking today on integrating lecture and lab activities in introductory soils. So this, in contrast with the excellent talks we've already heard, this is very much a work in progress kind of talk, but given the theme of this session, I thought this would be a good chance to share what we're trying out. This quarter really is our first go at it, and so I wanted to present what we're doing and why we're doing it, and may spark some ideas for some of you, and hopefully some of you might have some feedback as well that you could give to me to see if we can't make this work out. I wanted up front to acknowledge my colleagues that have been working on this project with me, Chip Appel, Bwalya Malama, and Christina Lascano. The content of this presentation, I take full responsibility, but in terms of designing the course and putting all the material together, they have done a huge amount of work, and I'm lucky enough to be the one who gets to implement it at this pilot stage, but they deserve more than just a note on a thank you slide at the end, so I wanted to recognize them up front. For some context, introductory soil science at Cal Poly, has been ingrained in our college curriculum. I don't get any credit for that. I don't know at what point it happened, but we have very good college support in terms of other majors sending their students to us. As a result, they do get some general education credit for it. So annually we have on the order of 500 to 600 students take introductory soil science, which turns into 8 to 10 lecture sections and roughly 25 lab sections of about 24 sections each. So we've got pretty big numbers of students coming through our intro soils class, which is fantastic, but it presents us with some challenges. Our current model, because we have so many sections, both lab and lecture, we don't have one go-to instructor for the course. We have a full-time lecturer that takes on many of the sections, but every quarter we typically have one or two or sometimes three different instructors teaching lecture sections, and then we have as many as four different instructors teaching the laboratory sections. So students are getting diverse experiences, and the lecture and lab, they are part of the same course. You enroll in SS-121 and there's a lab and a lecture, so that's you're getting one grade from the two, but they operate independently. Each lab instructor teaches in their own style. Each lecture instructor has autonomy to lecture how they want. And so some students in one lab section, I might be teaching a lab on soil physics, and some students haven't had it in lecture yet, and others have. And so there's this disconnect between lab and lecture. We have tried, the instructors generally have tried to match up our lectures to coincide with the lab activities. Those are harder to adjust because we sometimes have 10 different sections a week. Week three's labs are week three's labs, so we kind of have to adapt our lectures to follow the lab schedule. But not every instructor is doing it in exactly the same way, so there's this disconnect there. There is a heavy teaching demand, which I think I've explained, but there's a low teaching supply, meaning we are primarily an undergraduate institution. We offer a master's program, but no PhD, and we have very few graduate students. So the opportunity for graduate teaching assistants, there just aren't that many students available. So we occasionally will have a grad student teach one lab section, but it primarily falls on the tenure track and full-time lecturers to be providing this instruction. And then the last note up there, the relatively high DFW, so grades of D's, F's, or withdrawals from the course, grades that mean they're not able to use this credit to progress toward their degree. This fall, our college has been looking at courses that have a high DFW impact that are slowing down degree progress, and intro soils came out as one of the biggest impacts in the college. The fail rate is not that high, but the number of students taking it is high enough that the combination of a relatively high DFW rate and a large number of students in an introductory level course has the college looking at us a little bit and makes us just a little nervous about what can we do to keep other majors from thinking maybe we don't need to require this course anymore. So the studio concept, and others have mentioned this, we didn't invent it. I know other institutions in soil science and in many other topics have implemented a studio concept. For those who aren't familiar, it's basically integrating the lab with the lecture. We don't have a lab and then a separate meeting for the lecture. They all happen at the same time in the same room. So instead of 3 1-hour lecture sections and a 3-hour lab, which is our traditional model, we meet twice a week for 3 hours, and each 3-hour section is a combination of lab and lecture material. You talk about Darcy's law, and then you pull out your constant head permeameters and you measure flux. So you're directly going from the lecture portion to the laboratory activities. This picture here is from one of our chemistry labs. It's a 64-seat lab/lecture room. It's got 32 computers built in. New, beautiful room. A great facility that they've been able to use very successfully, and so we're trying to learn from what they're doing. Our goals here, first off, promote active learning. Active learning hopefully equals better learning. I'm not going to try to prove that today, but I think that has been fairly well established, and so this getting them involved in their education or in their learning. Cal Poly's motto is learn by doing, so this fits really well with what the institution really stresses. We want them active at all times in our course. University of New Hampshire implemented a studio concept in their intro to soils course and published a paper on it, and they found a reduced DFW rate. So hopefully that will hold out for us as well, and we can make the college a little happier in that respect and also promote student success. There's a teaching efficiency to be gained by having these large-scale 64-student lab lecture combined. We reduce the total number of overall sections that we have to offer, and so we're able to offer the courses with less of a teaching impact. And one that I hadn't thought of, but I was talking with one of our college academic advisors, and she was thrilled with this idea because students, given our particular nature of how courses are offered, students are able to get into 2 3-hour sections a lot more easily, fit that into their schedule. So the administration, the advising office, is really excited about this just because they think students will be able to get it into their schedule when they need to a little more easily. So we have a pilot section underway. The previous slide showed you the big, beautiful 64-seat chemistry studio room. This is our much smaller but still beautiful introductory soils lab. We've got 24 seats. We don't have integrated computers. We're still offering our traditional lab sections at the same time that we're trying to pilot this studio section. So we've got some challenges there. But the good news is that we get to start small, so I only have 24 students that I'm piloting this with. And we're halfway through our first quarter of giving this a try. So far, without data, but with pretty good confidence, I can state a few benefits that we've seen. The first, it eliminates the lab-lecture disconnect. They don't have a separate instructor for lab and lecture. So just on that practical point of view, they're getting a consistent product. They're getting the lab material at the same time they're getting the lecture material. So logistically, that disconnect is gone. Connecting lab to lecture, this is more on the pedagogical side of things. I know that they are connecting their saturated permeameter with their Darcy Law lecture material because they are done within 5 minutes of each other. So there is that connection. I haven't measured the benefits of that, but I do know that the lab material and the lecture material is getting connected directly. And a kind of side benefit is this has forced us to re-examine our lab activities. The standard lab manual that has been around for I don't know how many years, that has gone through various little edits a little at a time. Some of those activities we just can't do in this setting. They just won't fit into the pieces at a time, breaking things up. And so we've had to re-examine our labs, which is something that we've been wanting to do for a while anyway. And so this has forced us to really take a look at our lab activities and redesign some of those. So if nothing else, it's forced us to update our labs and make some improvements there. Some of the challenges we've run into, I mentioned right now I've only got the 24-seat room. If we really are going to scale this up, we have to have that 64-seat larger section, and we don't have a space for that yet. And at many, our college is excited about the concept. The university has been doing this in other programs, so I think eventually we will have that space. They're working on it for us. At other institutions, that might be a challenge, talking someone into finding you a space like that. And then there's an additional equipment requirement. That's something that's easier to address, but the number of mineral sets that we have for students to examine, we're going to have to update that and increase some of those numbers. Some of the challenges in terms of how we're delivering material, some lecture material doesn't lend itself quite as readily to going directly into a lab activity. I found, given the labs that we've been doing, when I started trying to line up what lab I was going to coordinate with what lecture, my lecture on soil forming factors, it was a little hard to find good lab activities to insert in between each of those discussion points. We talk about soil development in the lab, but kind of in a different way. We take them out into the field and we talk about the factors of soil formation as they influenced the soils that we're seeing out in the pit. But that was, and for some topics, that was a challenge, trying to figure out, all right, I need to stop my lecture portion and move into a lab. What lab can we actually do that will effectively reinforce this lecture topic? And on the flip side, some things that we spent a lot of time in lab, I didn't want to spend, you know, 3 full 8 weeks of lecture on soil physical properties. We have them do texture by hand, feel, and with the hydrometer, and soil color, and particle density, and some of those things are lab intensive, and I had to get a little creative thinking about, well, how do we have a lecture that is relevant to this lab but still give them the laboratory experience? And then the last challenge that I'll bring up, there's a little less flexibility, and that's something that I can learn to deal with, but in terms of if I want to call an audible and go talk to about some tangential topic that someone raised a good question, as I'm doing that and spending 10 minutes on a side topic, I'm thinking, what 10 minutes of lecture am I going to drop, because I can't come back to this next time because our lab activities that we're going to have out are going to be different lab activities. So it forces me to be to think about things in a little different way and remove some of the flexibility in the lecturing. And then the last question, which is to be determined perhaps, is it worth it? So we're implementing, we're going to try to measure that. We've seen some results from others who have been measuring student success, and so we are actively trying to come up with ways of measuring both student satisfaction and student engagement. And then institutional satisfaction, is it really going to work for our department? Is it actually going to ease teaching loads, or is it actually, if student learning and student satisfaction doesn't change, is there an institutional benefit, or is it more headache than it's worth? So those are questions to be determined. Follow up with me in a couple years, and I'll hopefully have some good numbers to share with you on those. But with that, I will take questions if there's time.
Mm-hmm. Have you considered to go back to the drawing board and, based on your experience, identify those enduring understanding outcomes for the 500 students? I'm imagining they are not soil science majors, and then use that to help you identify essential and non-essential things that you can integrate in the lab deck.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. And I've, as I've piloted it, I've had to do a little of that on the fly and haven't really had the time to sit down and do that carefully. But I think that is worthwhile, that we should sit down with our learning objectives and think about our full population and what objectives do we really need to keep in there and where maybe could we gain some efficiencies. I think that's a good suggestion.
Yeah, maybe that guides you on what you need to keep and eliminate.
Right, I think.
If you're teaching 500, it's a survey course. So, you know, part of the challenge is depth versus coverage. So
right.
What is your desired goal here?
Right, and it's a challenge because yes, we are. It is a survey course, but it is also the foundational course for those in our major. So, but yeah, that's a point well taken. Something we could definitely use. Thank you.